The sun shall never set on so glorious a human achievement. Let freedom reign. God bless Africa.
I am an African. I owe my being to the hills and the valleys, the mountains and the glades, the rivers, the deserts, the trees, the flowers, the seas, and the ever-changing seasons that define the face of our native land.
There is a place for all South Africans, black and white. It is a partnership.
This is now the time where we should honor the memory of Nelson Mandela to build a new, better South Africa for all our people. Now is the time.
Women leadership, yes. Across politics.
Yes.
In your open letter, you speak of our black politicians have become assets for colonized capital.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Before we go into women leadership, what did you mean by that?
We haven't changed the infrastructure of our economy.
Mm.
We're just there as token blacks, because the law says there shall be so much percentage of black shares or whatever it is. But we haven't got the economy in our hands at all.
Mm.
At all.
Bold.
And we haven't taken bold steps to do what needs to be done to ensure that we get our economy into our own hands. We go into parliament and every time we talk about our land and all of those things, nothing gets done.
Some political parties are not speaking about their land in their manifestos or in the election slogans.
Yeah.
In 2019, there was a big hoo-ha, bring back our land.
Mm.
But none of these political parties are mentioning that anymore. Yeah.
But you see, the thing about politics is it is always determined by the combination of the people who lead it. You can gauge the content by the people who are the conglomerate of people who make up the leadership of that. So maybe what we would be saying is, this is a question that the ANC, NEC should be answering.
Mm.
Why are we going down? If people your age think we're going down, why are we going down?
Mm. Or people saying we're not going to vote for...
Yes.
The ANC.
Why not? Why not? I mean, we are the most natural.
Like yes. You are, as are the Liberation Party.
Pardon?
You are the Liberation Party.
We are the Liberation Party.
Still
party.
Are.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I guess it would be like the kind of question of that would take us forever, you know, trying to divide
three by three
or whatever. You'll have eternal decimal points until no end. And also, it is a very rough issue to raise amongst ourselves, because ingrained in that is everybody's perception of what has gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it might impact on the next person.
Next person. Mm.
Or whatever it is.
Mm.
And so.
And not to say the ANC has not done anything in the past 30 years. The ANC has done a lot for this country. However, there are still loopholes.
Mm.
Like, as you speak of economic reconciliation, black people are not in the economy.
Yes. But son, you've got to understand that there are certain things that would have had time frames. We should have if we were conscious of what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
We should have said, within this time we should have given the land back. Within this time, we should have had 80% of our people economically active and in ownership or whatever. But we didn't, because I was telling you that I was helping Omgov put together his book.
Yeah.
And he is the most forthright politician I know. He says we bent over backwards to accommodate something that did not take us anywhere.
It's like... The ANC accommodated the apartheid system
in a way
to say, okay, give us the freedom to walk freely wherever we want to walk.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the freedom to be in multiracial schools. But the economic freedom, it's poverty still lingers among Africans.
Yes, but when Black you say Africans. When you say that in the public domain, you rock the boat.
Yeah, you do.
You do.
You do.
Yep. Mm. Now, I've been in many rocky boats.
Because, I mean, even this interview, whatever comes out of it, people will still... It's something that will always happen, and it mostly happens. I'm so sorry to say this to Black women leaders.
Yes,
it always happens.
Absolutely.
I was reading your letter of DM Zanzi, Women of Mzanzi, where you speak about Busisiwe Mkhwebane and Tina Jomart Peters and how they were used for a certain agenda or used as subjugation. You say in that letter, going into women leadership. Why is that? Why is it still a man's world everywhere you go? Economic is man's world.
I don't know.
Politics is man's world.
No, I'm talking to a youngster. Maybe you've got some bright ideas about how you're going to take the future.
Because on this podcast, Masisulu, I've only interviewed women. There's one man who's my age that I've interviewed. Mm. The rest have been women.
Mm.
All women. Mm-hmm. And it's for a specific reason, because I feel as though
they
women...
They remind you of your mommy.
No, no. No, they don't. No, they don't. But because the voice of women in politics in South Africa still lacks a lot.
But do you know what? I have learned that where women are in charge, things work.
Hmm?
They work.
Hmm?
I was in Britain when Margaret Thatcher was a prime minister. Didn't like her politics.
Yeah,
and
me
she
too.
Took no nonsense.
Yeah, she didn't. She didn't, yeah.
And I look at the German
Chancellor.
I admire her
mm.
because women have raised families, so it is in their genes to be able to raise things and raise families and deal with differences.
Mm.
But men have egos that go through the roof, and if you were to ask any of them who are standing for any
I wish I could count them, but I can't, Masisulu. I can't see any. They are thin, but I don't even see them getting that one seat. They're not. I don't know, man. Their voices are suppressed, and
what's
I don't
that,
know.
The women?
Women in politics. No. I can't even count. I'm trying to think the top of my head.
Which
I can
one?
Only think of Colleen Makubele. That's the only one I can think of.
No, it's because, one, chauvinism is something that we must deal with.
Mm.
And men, boys, are born with it. There's going to be some kind of special education that, you know, we teach our children that we are all equal.
Mm.
You will not do that. You will not. But we still live in a society where bravado is a thing for male. You've got to be out there and show whatever it is. Otherwise, you're a sissy. Until we get over that. And it is also embedded in our culture, both the Afrikaner culture, African culture, whatever, Khoisan culture, and all of that. It's just something that we have to consciously say, how do we move forward?
And it's the world. It's not even, I'm not going to say it's South Africa. It's the world. It's Africa. It's the international community. It's everywhere.
But you know what? There are women who have run countries in Africa, and they've run them 100 times better.
Tanzania is one of them.
Tanzania is one of them.
It's brilliantly run.
Yes.
Yeah.
Women are better at doing things and managing things than men. But men have egos the size of Table Mountain. So they will not sit kindly to a situation that gives preference to women.
So is this why the ANC has not elected a female president and also a female secretary general? Because no female has held those positions in the organization that you are in.
Really?
And it's been in existence for 112 years. The only person I can think of is Umambalega Mbete, who served as national chair.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at secretary general, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like that's more of a...
It is the engine.
It's the engine. The person who communicates to all of the branches of the ANC.
Well, when they give us chairpersonship, it's a token thing.
Oh,
it's token.
Oh.
No, they will hold on to those positions because our society is the way it is.
Mm.
So we can't pretend we live in a glass bowl where everything is normal and we can start from scratch.
But it should change.
Well, it should change. It should change. But because men have assumed this macho whatever kind of presence around them. You know, I looked at some of the criticism of my Hey Mzansi, which I will not ever withdraw. Most of them were men. Most of them were men.
I remember with the Who's Law Is It Anyway? Yo.
Yep.
That even the judiciary, that organ of state came for
No, the judiciary felt very insecure.
But when I read it, it's not as bad as I thought it was. Yes, you might have, you know, used certain words, but you were telling it like it is. And you didn't say judges in South Africa, by the way.
No, I didn't.
You didn't say judges in South Africa.
No. But what happened is that the president himself was a bit concerned. And he called me and said, don't you think it's too harsh? I said, no, I don't think so. Which part? We sat there for an hour. I said, just tell me which part. And we looked for it.
To be honest, I also sat yesterday. What part is
which part?
Which part is wrong? She's not mentioning anybody.
So we got to a part where he thought, maybe we could change this part. I said, out of what, 3,000 words, one word would change
everything.
But I said, look, I'm easy. Let's find somebody else who can be mediator. And let's see whether I agree or not, because it's my piece. Because you're now containing the way I think. And that is completely outside the law or even the law of nature. You can't do that. Even in slavery, you could enslave the person. You couldn't enslave the mind.
You can't take away
that is life. Why you had to change their education and the way that they were socialized to subordinate them and contain them. But otherwise, you can't change the way
you
I think.
You can't change the way you think.
So there was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. And I thought, look, if you begin to contain what people say, you are taking away their freedom.
Their freedom.
I fought for my freedom.
And also censoring you in a way.
Censoring me.
Yeah.
I was born into a fighting family. I haven't had one day outside a fight. I'm not going
since
to support
you.
Since those raids. Yeah. And when I went out to fight, I was fighting for equality. I was fighting for all of those things. And if the judiciary feels unhappy, I'm also very unhappy with some of their judgments.
And that's the thing. Why can't we question certain judgments of the judiciary? It's fair. It's the only way. If you can criticize politicians, why can't we criticize the judiciary? Because it's still an organ of state which must be held accountable for their judgments as well.
Well, the reason why we're not allowed to criticize judgments is because we need to have an orderly society.
Okay.
And a certain hierarchy. And judges are meant to be objective.
Yeah.
So even when they read this, they should not be seeing me there.
Yeah.
When they see me in reading that, then they're not being objective.
But it's hard to do that, though. I mean, I guess when you've done it for a long time, it's easy. But to have a perception of someone at the back of your mind, it's very easy, especially when you're doing a judgment. I guess that's why you can appeal and take it to
somebody else.
Well,
the thing is, that is the... That's a basic foundation that the judiciary should be unbiased. Whether individuals are biased or not is something that perhaps can be debated and taken up as and when. And and you're right. If you're unhappy with a judgment on the basis of the facts before them, you can go and go to the next one.
Court,
so you have recourse.
But in this case,
then said to the president in the end, Mr. President, I have a mind. I've expressed myself. I'm changing not a comma, not a full stop, not an exclamation mark. It took me a long time and a lot of consultation as well, both with people whom I thought were very good at law. And
that means they...
Whether they liked it or not, I was putting across a fact. Yeah. And I just happened to have been in politics all my life. So these are things that I've thought through.
And these are things that we need, actually, to start that conversation.
Well, I don't know.
That's why it's called an open letter.
Well, I don't know if our society is ready for openness.
But I think sometimes you need to force it into society.
Well,
how it lands...
No, we are still caught up in a society that is almost like a caste society. You know, when you're black, mm-hmm. you can only think up to
think
that
up
level.
Think up to this level. Yes. I get what you're saying.
And when you're a woman, you yeah. only think up to this level.
Yeah.
Because for me, the uproar there, when I looked at it, I thought, black woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's already a non-starter.
That's it.
But when I looked at it, I said to the president, I'm not going to change a full stop or an exclamation mark. Those are my views, and there is free speech in society,
mm-hmm.
and you cannot censor me yeah, on free speech.
And then where did this whole thing of you apologize come from then? There was a whole thing uproar that, yes. oh, yes, she apologized.
No, okay.
Where does that come
okay.
from?
So here we were with the president, mm. and the president was saying, look, man, let's get over this. There are more important things.
There's more important, yeah.
You can just withdraw this thing or apologize or whatever it is, and we can move on. We had a very friendly discussion because I've known the president since one of the first people I met after leaving prison.
Because he was also the Secretary General.
No. But before that.
Before that, yeah.
I was looking for a lawyer for Joe Gabby.
Yes.
And I went to him because he was referred to me. So I've known him for a very, very long time. Yeah. The point I was making is that now between we withdrew ourselves, him and I, and the officers were running with it. And in the end, of course, the president's office is more powerful than my office. So the tussle between them played itself out in the public domain.
Yes, and I think that's where the confusion came from.
I didn't care too.
Because then your team would come, no, she didn't apologize. Then, just became this
whole because hoorah. You see, because.
And it diverted from the actual conversation of the open letter.
Yeah, it did.
Like, that was frustrating. It's frustrating me right now how one stupid thing can divert all of us from actually reading the context, the content of this open letter. Mm. And when I read it, it puts a black person first.
Mm.
When I read it, it puts a black person first. Would you agree with me if I were to say? It puts me as a black, I see myself.
In there. Well, that's good. Because basically, we have shortchanged black people.
Mm.
Big time. So if you see yourself in my concerns there, that's good. It doesn't matter the backlash that came with it. I couldn't be bothered. Mm. I've gone through more torturous times.
Yeah. You were tortured by the worst of people.
And none of them care now because we've delivered
You achieved what you wanted to achieve.
And nobody's saying, gee, my God. Thank you for being part of the liberation struggle. They couldn't be bothered. But this one, and judges are a bit insy about themselves.
Even a whole chief justice had to make a comment around it
what shocked me, he was speaking as chief justice. Now, when you're chief justice, the reason why you wear a gown and a wig is for... is for presentation.
Yes.
You've got to look your part.
Yes.
And he comes to the television. It's not the television that goes to him in the Constitutional Court office.
It's a national. Was it the national broadcaster? Yes,
it was the ETV.
It was ENCA. Yes, ENCA.
He goes, and you can see that they just grabbed him from somewhere. And
he wasn't wearing the formal.
No.
Kind
of and I thought to myself, why would he reduce himself to that? He is the Chief Justice. He can delegate that to somebody else. Say, look, take this on.
Just take this on.
And there will never be a time in society where we are all in agreement on everything.
If you don't
accept dissent or criticism, then there's something wrong in your understanding of how different we are and how we can actually still come together in our differences.
Yeah.
And that's one the first thing that we had to accept when we accepted the new dispensation. We had to accept that, look, we are still poor. They are very rich.
They're still very rich. That's where the money is.
Yes, that's where the money is. But in time, the Constitution will help us get to where we're going.
But Master Sulu, when? By the time I'm old...
Fortunately, we'll all be gone. Let me go now. We'll all be gone by the time you're
old. Literally, I think when that happens, I live to see that day where our constitution benefits me, because even in your letter, the last part, you say there is a need for an overhaul of a justice system that does not work for Africa and Africans
in particular.
In particular.
Now tell me, what is offensive about that?
Nothing.
But anyway,
there needs to be an overhaul. Okay. My three final questions then. We wrap it up. We have had such a long conversation, but I knew it was going to be long. Your thoughts on coalition governments. Do they work? Do they not work?
Coalition governments, for me, as
given
a member...
Given you, who's been in government for such a long time, do you think they work?
Well, it depends on at what level do we have a coalition government. When we got into government, we had a government of national unity, what is called national unity. And within 2 months of that government of national unity, the National Party, which had enjoyed preeminent privileges, realized that it's not going to work. Now, when they realize it's not going to work, it should have rung a bell to all of us.
It will never work.
It will never work.
It will never work. The government of national unity should have been an example.
It should have been an example. We should have learned from that. But then they walked away. Now, what made us take our focus away from them to ourselves is that for the first time, we were in charge, completely in charge.
Completely,
yes. Elated that now we can take the country forward to where we want to take it to. We didn't look at why did they leave, because that would teach us about what coalition means.
And why do you think they left?
Because even with ourselves in the ANC, we will thresh something out until we agree, okay, I agree not.
Doesn't work anymore.
No.
Okay.
I agree to disagree.
Okay.
And you agree to agree.
Okay.
But just note that there was one dissenting voice. There will never be a perfect world where everything is equal. And then by the time you get to the levers of power, that is even more pronounced. But we go into it because the Constitution does determine what percentage you need to have to govern a country.
To govern a country.
And
which
if you don't
the
have...
Two-thirds that they speak about.
Yes, because we had a two-thirds.
Two-thirds, yeah,
then,
you did.
So we were gung-ho.
Yeah.
We didn't know we would get to this point.
We didn't know you'd get here.
But coalitions are not a perfect fit for any government.
For any government.
No. You study coalitions all over the world, it really has never worked. Because the principle that drives a government is the ideology of that particular political party. And when it is watered down, it has to be balanced by society understanding. So they will always be very difficult. But they are an option to ensure that there is continuity and people get their rights as citizens. So we subordinate ourselves to that sometimes. But invariably, it's not a perfect solution to anything.
And do you think we'll ever have a female president in our lifetime?
I think they've missed out on quite a lot of the best.
They have. And you are one of them.
I didn't say that.
No, I didn't also say that. Okay.
You know, I have lived in a country when I was doing my PhD in York University, and Margaret Thatcher was the Prime Minister of Britain. And it ran like clockwork. It ran like clockwork.
It was, the work was being done.
Absolutely.
Just like, I'm going to make an example with UCT.
Really?
It worked. Not now. Yeah. Not now. But I think under Paking, I think it worked.
It did.
People were doing their jobs.
Yes. Because even within the home, you know that even though the father has a big, big base throws his weight around, the real power is with
the woman.
Is the woman. Angela Merkel was a wonderful leader of the German, of the country. And you could go on and on. Even in ancient times, the best leaders were women.
They were.
Because they have in them an ingrained, inborn sensitivity of equality, fairness, because they have to because they have to look after and manage.
The strength also comes from them being the only humans to give birth. Males, I don't think we would have survived before giving birth.
Well, it's not the only thing males can survive. I mean,
no,
males,
we can survive males. A lot of things, but that in particular is so powerful.
It is.
That you give birth to somebody,
yes.
Male or female.
In fact, if the women were to say, we're going on strike, the world would stop.
It would. And majority of the voters in South Africa, according to the IEC data, are females.
Yeah.
And if you know that,
yeah.
Majority of the people who are registered to vote in this country
yeah.
are females.
You know how we're going to change society? Yeah. Empower the women. Empower the women and make sure that the men don't feel that power is being taken away from them because they're a very insecure species. Mm-hmm.
The most insecure. Mm-hmm. See Demi agreeing there. She's like, yes, it's true.
It's true.
And then just to wrap it up, before I go into what you want to be remembered for.
You're not going to ask about the size of my shoes.
No.
All right.
It's red bottoms.
No. So, I was just putting it in
there. I have to ask this question because, the African National Congress has brought out everybody. I mean, we haven't seen Matthew Poza in so long. I was shocked seeing him on the campaign trail.
Mm.
Why have we not seen Lindiwe Sisulu, who is a force that I think the ANC does need to campaign?
Okay, two things. The reason why you see them is because they post themselves.
Okay.
I'm not that kind of person.
Oh.
I'm not that kind of person. There is no law that says post yourself.
Post yourself, yes.
If they don't believe in me, I mean, I was born in the ANC.
Mm-hmm.
I live for the ANC. If they don't believe in me being where I should be when I say I'm going to be there, tough.
So you are campaigning.
Of course I'm.
It's just that I think we've...
Okay,
As they said, posting, we've not seen you.
Why should I advertise myself?
But for people like me who kind of believed in your leadership,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I was in the ANC in 2022, yes. I think I would have voted for LS22 mm-hmm. instead of CR22.
No, you see, we have commercialized
yeah.
that which is most central in democracy.
Mm-hmm.
You won't find a country where people post themselves. The media would be there. We do call the media so that the media can then spread the word.
Yes.
But posting yourself, there's something essentially egotistic, don't you think?
Mm.
But it has become the norm.
Because if people don't see you, they come up with this conclusion of, oh, she's probably one of the disgruntled ANC members. Or
I was born here.
How are you going
Tell me one person here, one person in the executive who was born here.
No one.
No. They will make up whatever they want to make up. I couldn't be bothered. I mean, I might wake up one day and they say, you know what? The real secret about Lindiwe is that she's a man.
Okay. That would be a horrible secret.
No, I mean, here I am. I'm born here.
Yeah,
this is my home.
This is your home.
It's not just my home. I suffered for the ANC. I fought. Each member of my family was tortured, imprisoned, and whatever for the ANC. Why should I now be posing? Everybody knows
Everyone
I'm ANC.
Knows that you're ANC.
Yes, yeah. Why should I be posing for that?
You're not a spotlight person,
no.
I guess. I've never posted
myself.
No, I've never.
No.
Even them, as the ANC's media team. That's why I guess I was so persistent in this interview to find out.
Why am I not?
Not why you're not, but it was one of the things of, where is Mam Sisulu?
I'm here.
Like, you guys can take out, you bring in your big Tokyo Sekhwales, your Pumzilem Lambunguk. I was also campaigning today, and I was like, but no, man.
No, it's not that she's campaigning. It's because they've now commercialized everything.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to be taking pictures of myself campaigning.
It's not like you want anything anyway.
No, I want something. I do want the ANC to win.
To win, yes.
Because that's what my life was about.
Mm.
It's, you know, the way they put it now, Lindiwe is not campaigning, blah, blah, blah. It's as though they are owners of the struggle. They're not. We all struggled. I felt the pain from the day I was conscious of discrimination and apartheid.
Mm.
And I don't know if any of them have gone through what I've gone through.
When I look at the leadership of
Not only the leadership.
Not only leadership, but anyone.
Yes. Why would I now decide that...
To go take videos and photos.
I'm not going to be in videos and photos. It's not,
yeah.
It's not me. I mean, the way that I used videos and photos was when I was in government. And I used them for human settlements. There was a program called Breaking New Ground to say government is working. Why should I be taking pictures of myself? That's one. And then secondly, now that I am no longer in the executive, I am more available for other responsibilities. And I travel a lot.
Yes.
I go to conferences a lot. And I get a lot of fulfillment, you know, that we're able to share our experiences, let the world know that we also have intellectuals in South Africa.
Yes.
So I've been traveling a lot.
Mm.
So that is one of the reasons, maybe. But I am in every NEC meeting. Well, when I'm not there, I actually explain why I'm not there.
Mm.
And for the first half of this year, the United Nations UNHCR used to use me a lot as a speaker in their conferences. I'm very busy.
You're
and
still there.
Actually, I should be saying to you, maybe I should send out pictures of me speaking at a conference.
No, you know, I think because of your name and who you are, you serve a very integral part for the ANC, the ANC. Mm-hmm. People don't forget you. That's why I was like, even in this interview, when I go and post it, people will say whatever they want to say. Oh, we haven't seen in such a long time. Oh, this, oh, that. You know what I mean?
And tell them, I called her and she agreed immediately.
Immediately,
so
I mean.
Why would I agree and not agree if, you know, somebody wants to take a picture of me? If they want to take a picture of me, yes. But I'm not going to take my phone and say, shoot me with these people.
I'm with people, comrades.
Yes. But I think that for those that it works for, it works.
Yeah, it works for them.
It works for them.
Yeah.
But been in this too long.
Too long
for me to be posing.
I would wrap it up by asking you, what do you want to be remembered for? I know that's a very hard question, but what do you want to be remembered for?
I'm very passionate about my people. I'm very passionate about the people who gave their lives for us. I'm passionate about all of those things that I would have given my life for. I would have given my life for my people.
Yeah.
I would have exchanged my life for Solomon Mahlangu so that he can live.
Can live more.
Live more.
Tragic death. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm passionate about those things that are absolutely essential. Dignity, you know, my rights, black people's rights. I look back at my life. I've given my entire life.
I think you have.
I have. And I don't regret one bit. I don't regret one bit. If I joined the ANC two terms back, yes, I might want to be in the front pages.
Yes, in the front page. Yes. I think that was you at that point. But as I said, now you have nothing to prove anymore.
No, I don't need anything.
You don't need anything from anyone. Wow.
No, and also I've been making myself very available for international conferences.
Yes.
In the past, I would decline them because I would be busy.
Busy, yeah.
But now I don't. So I'm on the international circuit and I'm very happy. And I, you know, it's also for them a fresh voice from South Africa with possibly a different perspective or maybe a same perspective, I don't know.
Mm.
So I travel a lot for conferences and, I do the ANC work. When I'm not there, it's because I'm out of the country.
Still ANC, still attend.
And
those
then
meetings, yeah.
The biggest problem, the biggest bugbear, I have been a minister for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So when I moved house, my books alone.
How many days did it take?
I haven't finished.
And this was in 2023. I mean, this was last. You're still not finished.
I haven't finished.
So I guess that's how much you read.
No, I'm just giving you an example of what sometimes has kept me busy.
Yeah.
And when I talked to a friend of mine, he said to me, you know, they say one of the most traumatic experiences is losing somebody you love or moving house.
Moving house, yeah.
And I thought, moving house? What has moving house got to do with it?
I also thought that till I actually moved house. I was okay. I'm sure yours is worse than mine because I was like really traumatized by my few boxes.
Really?
Yeah, I was.
I had three houses,
that's a lot.
You know, two houses. Yeah. And then I'd also had a previous house before I became a manager. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, I know. It is. I can imagine the boxes and all of that.
Yeah, and I haven't started unpacking. I'm still sorting out the most basic thing.
Yeah.
In most countries, when you relinquish your responsibility, you are given a year off or something.
Yes.
Just so that
you took that year so just
that
to sort out.
You sort your things
yourself out. Yeah.
Here, I think I was expected the following day to be at the NEC.
Oh.
I suppose we do that with everybody.
Yeah.
But now that I've experienced it, I think that I will advise the ANC that when somebody ends their term, give them time to sort themselves out, because then there'll be better value when they're settled.
When they're done.
But yeah, maybe I have too many.
Too many things.
No.
Just as an ender, would you take?
No,
up
I don't a, have too many would things.
Would you take up a ministerial role?
No,
ever again. Or you done? Or have you passed on the baton to say I'm done. I'm passing on the baton.
No, I am very done. I have been very proud of every day I've spent in government. My family has always been a bit insy. Oh, why don't you spend time with us? But I've been very passionate about my work in government.
Seems like you still are.
Very passionate about. So I thought, you know, now let me take time with my kids. And since my retirement, I think we've had 4 or 5 lunches out.
Oh, wow.
And in all the time that I was in government, I didn't have the time. So it's opened up a good space for me to kind of touch base with my kids before they are out of the way, before I find them in the streets or doing something wrong.
Which I don't think any of your kids have been in trouble. I've never seen any.
Yes, but you
compared to the other family, which I won't mention their name.
And the strange thing is we are related to that family.
Yes.
So whatever they do,
we are all affected. Yeah.
So we are one big kind of clan.
It seems like it was just one big clan.
Yeah.
With all you guys. Yeah. It is incredible.
But also we developed very good relations with all of those people. I was burying a PAC leader last week.
Yeah, you did say an SMS. Yeah.
And I was like, this is my family.
Yes.
You know, in terms of their dedication and experience, this is my family. So there are various layers in which people identify with other people.
With other people, yeah.
And so I have a big family.
Yep.
But I think there is a misinterpretation of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
People associate intelligence with you providing me with, you know, secret information. And the closer you are to the president, the better it is. Yeah. The president will therefore be primed on time.
Mm-hmm.
Classical intelligence is you separate them so that there is a... there's a concept that we hold on to very dearly, which is plausible deniability. It has to be plausible, and you can deny it. The president should have that in abundance. I don't know it. Mm. Never heard of it. Mm. Never know. I don't know those people.
Mm.
Mm. But then I suppose times change, and the value of intelligence is no longer about strategic direction, is no longer about strategic problems that we might face. Mm-hmm. It's more about how much do I know about who.
Mm-hmm.
So it's become...
It's become a spy entity.
Whatever.
Let's spy on this one, let's spy on that.
Whatever.
One. So the whole concept of it has been...
Well, from where I'm sitting as a graduate with a master's degree in intelligence, yes, it's not what it should have been. But if it works, if it works for this government, if it works for the president, I suppose, you can't have something that doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
So if it works for him,
it works.
It works. But that is not what intelligence. He should be
because
able.
Because to have it close to you, you can do whatever you want
with
it.
When whatever.
It's close. Yeah.
But the sacred oath you take is, I don't know.
Which one was the worst ministry for you? The one you didn't enjoy?
One that I dislike. I don't know how to put it. Tourism had no value for me in.
I'm sorry to say, I was shocked.
No, but I suppose that is the president's choice.